You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Batter Up.
Hello, listeners. Welcome back to A Pod of Their Own. This is episode 129 of A Pod of Their Own. I am Allison McCaig, and I am joined this week by my lovely co-host, Linda Sarovich. Hello, Linda.
Hey, Allison.
And Kellyanne Healy. Hello, Kellyanne.
Hello, Allison. Hello, Linda.
Hello again, Kellyanne.
Hello, hello. It's been a long time. No say. So I didn't see you almost like 10 hours ago. No.
Yeah, no, it's fine.
Linda and Kellyanne were doing library things, you guys.
Yes, so you were doing library stuff earlier. And I tried to pitch a bubble machine to Linda because it's an amazing bubble machine.
Yes, I got to play in a bunch of bubbles. Like, yes. That's my job.
Pretty cool, right? The New York Mets continue to be good, which is nice. I mean, they are not in the position that we thought that they would be in heading into today. They are only 5 games up on the Atlanta Braves, but that is not because the Mets have played poorly. It is because the Braves and Phillies ripped off lengthy winning streaks. The Phillies winning streak was broken at what? 8 games, 9 games?
I think it was 9.
It was short of double digits. I know that, but I can't remember exactly how many. And the Braves winning streak is ongoing. It's at 11, 12 and counting.
It's 12 and it. As of right now, they are winning 7-3 against the Nationals.
Because they're playing the Washington Nationals, who have given up on playing baseball this season.
Life. I was going to say life, but I was going to say both the Phillies and the Braves have hit this spate in their schedule where they're playing all of the teams that have sort of rolled over at this point.
Yeah. And I mean, I don't want to... Go ahead, Linda. Sorry.
Yeah, I was going to say they haven't played anybody over 500, I think, throughout their entire streak.
Yeah, like during this like late May, early June stretch, both teams have had pretty weak schedules. The Braves especially have had a very weak schedule. I don't want to take away from what they have accomplished because ripping off, you know, a 9, 10, 11 game winning streak is difficult for any team against any competition. That's hard to do in a baseball season. And so it's a combination of poor competition and them improving, to be sure. But the Mets are in the hardest part of their schedule, while the Braves and Phillies are in one of the easier parts of their schedule. So this was always going to happen to a certain extent. But the fact that the Mets built up such a big lead to begin with means that this little stretch of, you know, them gaining five games in the course of 2 weeks hasn't substantially hurt the Mets all that much.
And, you know, the Mets went 500 on their road trip. Like,
that's, which is,
I know people were like, you know, kind of freaking out because the Braves were catching up, but at the same time, it was an extended West Coast road trip. 500 was completely
excellent.
Yeah, I was gonna say that I'm counting that as a win.
Me too. I mean, just because it's not a June swoon. Like, every year there's been a June swoon.
And it could have been. And considering the first day they're out there, Lindor slams his finger in a door.
Oh my God. That the whole injury scares, and I'm like happy that they were scares. That usually does not work out in the Mets' favor. And everybody came back. Lindor's back, Lonzo's back, Marte's back. Mm-hmm. When does that ever work out in the Mets' favor?
Like, right. Never.
Any other year, that would have been a disaster.
Other year, all these dudes would have been out for weeks. Like, absolutely. And that's the thing. Like, we talked about the Lindor and Scherzer injuries, like, you know, like lesser injuries last week, because those had happened right before we recorded last week. And like, those were both like very dumb injuries too, that would have been like week long storylines if it had been any other season, because Lindor was like slamming his finger in a door and Scherzer was the dog incident. But Alonso, since then, since we last recorded, Pete Alonso and Starling Marte both had injury scares of the more conventional type that occurred during the game. And neither one missed substantial time. Neither one of them went on the injured list, which is incredible considering how bad they looked at the time.
And also, I was concerned because was it last year? I'm pretty sure it was last year. Pete got hit on the hand, tried to play through it, and then it completely sapped his power until he went on the IL. Like, he finally admitted, like, maybe I was worse than I thought. So I was kind of afraid that could happen again, and it hasn't. Like, he's been playing fine.
Right. Well, I was going to say, and speaking of Pete, he just got an RBI single. Bam, bam, 4-0 Mets.
Yep.
That brought Marte in.
Ha! Yep. And the Mets are, I mean, not to say that the rest of June is not difficult. It certainly is. The Mets have, I mean, you know, they're playing the Brewers right now, who are another team who are over 500. They still have two series against the Astros on tap for this month, but they are past the worst of it, because they're past the long West Coast road trip where they played three teams in a row who are good. I mean, I know that the Angels lost the Angels lost as many games in a row as the Braves have won heading into the Mets series. So they dropped off precipitously, but they're,
that is like criminal,
a good baseball team, you know, like Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani are good at baseball. Like, you know, and they fully went off in the game that the Mets lost. And like, I'm just kind of like, you know, like, that's going to happen. You're going to give up home runs to Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. It is what it is. They won the series.
Yeah.
Well, and then they might have left out with Syndergaard needing rest.
What the hell? That whole thing was so weird, man.
That was.
I mean, like, I'm not, to be clear, I am not mad at Noah Syndergaard for refusing to speak to the media. I could not care less about that, because Lord knows he is not the first, nor will he be the last person to not want to speak to the New York media. I have the deepest sympathy for anyone who feels that way. I just find it strange.
And like, I find it strange,
the weird too. Avoidance of him pitching, not the avoidance of the media. I like, that is not strange to me at all. The whole, like, he needs extra rest, he's not going to pitch in the Mets series, and we're not going to tell you why. It's just the way it is. Like, I know he's coming off an injury riddled season and, you know, is gonna need those extra days now and again. It's just the timing of it is suspect. And it's another, it's just another like notch in the belt of like, the Mets are the feared team now. Like, it's the same thing as when the Mariners like demoted Kelenic right before the Mets series. Like, obviously it's not weird in the sense that like he, it was deserved. He wasn't hitting, you know, it's not weird. Just like this Syndergaard thing isn't weird. He's going to need extra rest given the circumstances, but they both chose to do that so that it wouldn't be a storyline with the Mets. And I'm just like, huh, the Mets are like the team other teams are scared of right now. It's kind of cool.
But knowing Syndergaard too, it just seemed odd to me because he was always like, you know, that he had that like competitive fire. And I thought like, to me, the old Syndergaard would have wanted that game. Like Wild Horses wouldn't have been able to like drag him off the mound to face his old team and be like, especially since he was like, well, I never heard from the Mets. And like, wouldn't he want to show that they made a mistake? That they let him go.
Yeah.
And I don't know, it seemed out of character for him. I was like, man, what happened?
Yeah, maybe it is genuinely weird.
Maybe he genuinely needed rest.
It's possible.
It just happens to fall that way.
Especially considering like how much the Mets have seemingly lived in his head rent free this season because of the whole like, it's not a real no hitter shit he pulled like earlier, which, you know, again, I think we talked about this at the time. That was the type of thing that he did on the Mets. Like he's always been like this, guys. Like I think the Mets fans like got really, really mad about that. And I was like, this is who he is. Like he's always been a big shit talker. And it's like, it's one of those things that you love when he's on your team and you don't like it when he's on the other team. But he tried to like tweet about how like, or no, he didn't tweet about it. He put it on his Instagram story. Like, this is what, when an Angels pitcher did it, like, this is what a real no hitter looks like type of thing. And so like, you'd think for someone who's talking that much shit, he'd want to face his old team.
Yeah. Like that's what made it so weird. Like he purposely stirred shit and then ran away.
Which is kind of unlike him to like drop it in and run. Like he usually faces it.
Well, he's the same guy who said, meet me 6 feet, the six, 6 feet, 6 inches away.
Well, right. He claimed, if I'm not mistaken, that it was there was no intentional reference to the Mets.
Oh, come on. Oh, nobody's
I don't believe that, but I'm just saying what he's saying.
Yeah.
That was him trying to backtrack, but nobody's buying it. Then also, SNY has been being weird. Like they keep tracking what him and Stroman and Loop are doing. I'm like, nobody cares. We're good.
And also like Syndergaard continues to engage with Richard Staff on Twitter. So like that's the other thing.
But that's fine. Like that's funny and fun and like harmless.
No, it is. It's very funny. It's very funny. I want him to keep doing it, but it's just like it's what makes it makes it all the more weird considering like how much like he's been kind of like talking up this, you know, this like shit talking that he wouldn't face the Mets. But whatever. He did us a favor, I guess.
Yeah. I was gonna say, like if you wanted to prove it, you could have proved it and you didn't.
Yeah, didn't.
But I still have the sneaky suspicion. He's like a sad puppy that'll make his way back home.
Yeah.
I mean,
there's no way he's happy with how bad the Angels are.
I mean, he's the one that took that deal. Thankfully for him, it's a 1-year deal with, I don't think there are any options attached to it. It's just a pure 1-year deal to get him to showcase him post Tommy John.
Yeah.
So
Loop actually had some really sweet things to say. He was like, he tried to hold the Angels off as long as possible because he wanted to come back.
I know. I'm peeved at that one.
I was like, oh, Loop. But then again,
even though he's not good this year, but
I know. And he's his own.
He was really good early and then he had a couple of really bad outings. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he has his own little Busch Light mini fridge.
I was going to say he's got a sweet gig with the Angels. He's got his own Busch Light mini fridge, which is like pretty sweet.
I love it.
I know. It warms my heart to see that, you know, he's got his Busch Lights. And I think he was even bad against the Mets. They bought him in. I think they scored a couple runs off of him, or at least one run.
And I do think that Syndergaard, despite the like bravado that always fit in well with New York, I do think like he's definitely got SoCal vibes. So I do think he's like fitting in well with the Angels. Like, you know, they wore their City Connects against the Mets, and they like, you know, they had the like photo shoot of them. You know how teams always have like their photo shoots where they debut them on social media before they wear them for the first time. And in the like photo, Syndergaard isn't wearing any shoes, and he's just like standing on the beach in his bare feet, which I'm just like, that's extremely like weird shit that he would do. Like, he's just kind of like a weird, like SoCal himbo who's like meat and like,
yeah, the guy with like no shirt on all the time.
yeah. Who eats keto and talks about like macros and stuff online. Like, he's that guy.
Oh yeah.
Which I feel like fits in with that, those vibes. But you know, so the Mets had this 500 West Coast road trip, which I think anyone would say is a positive. If you had gone into it saying the Mets will be 500 on this road trip, I think any Mets fan would say, I'll take that. And the Mets, aside from the like Alonso and Marte injury scares ending up being fine, the Mets have gotten a slew of positive injury news lately, with all their players who are on the injured list, basically. DeGrom and Scherzer are on their way back. DeGrom threw a bullpen today, and will throw what they call a, quote, up and down bullpen on Friday, meaning it's like more simulating a real game because he gets up, he throws like 15 to 20 pitches, he sits for a little bit to simulate the like break between innings, and then he gets up and he throws 15, 20 more pitches. So he's going to do that next. And then obviously, like, I think as long as that goes fine, like, he's going to go on a rehab assignment. And Scherzer,
I hope, sorry.
Oh, go ahead, Kellyanne.
I was going to say, and I really hope it happens next week, because the St. Lucie Mets are playing the Palm Beach Cardinals. So I want to see some Twitter drama.
Oh my God. Yes. Palm Beach Cardinals. That would be so funny. Down there.
Oh my gosh.
I need the content.
Scherzer and DeGrom back to back.
Imagine if the Palm Beach Cardinals faced DeGrom and Scherzer back to back.
They would just cry.
The tweets are going to be so good.
I hope that happens. I just hope that happens.
Oh, it's going to be amazing. But yeah, Scherzer is in a similar spot as DeGrom, incredibly enough. And like, Steve Cohen even hinted, like, no one's said this outright, but Steve Cohen today during the broadcast came the closest to saying it. They actually interviewed Steve Cohen because he was there with the every year that during June, they do an interview with that guy who runs the Prostate Cancer Foundation, like ahead of Father's Day, and about
Michael,
like, you know,
Michael,
I forget his name.
Michael Milken or something.
Something like that.
I just looked this up because we were discussing it in the game thread. Michael Milken.
But yeah,
that's an appropriate name. Milken.
During that same interview, like, Steve Cohen was just like there with him. And so they talked to Steve Cohen, and Steve Cohen came the closest to saying like outright that Scherzer's actually gonna be back first. He like hinted at that. Yeah.
I mean, Scherzer, that makes sense.
Yeah. Scherzer's in a similar spot as DeGrom. He's back with the team in New York. He's throwing on flat ground. He could be nearing a minor league rehab assignment, as could DeGrom, and Scherzer's going to need fewer of them. He said that he hopes to only need one, which is absolutely nuts. Like, Scherzer's going to end up, if all goes well, you know, knock on all the wood, but if all goes according to the current plan, like, Scherzer's going to beat the initial timeline by like at least 2 weeks, which is nuts.
I figured something was up when, was it his wife tweeted, oh, we're headed back to New York. I was like, wait a second. And then all of a sudden they're Scherzer throwing today. I was like,
Yep. It is. I think it came out today, actually, like just a couple hours ago, that he did have a platelet rich the PRP injection.
Yes, he did.
Like his answer too when they're like, are you pleased with this progress? And he goes, no, I'm not back.
I'm not back, so I'm not happy, which is exactly a Max Scherzer thing to say.
Yes.
Like, oh my God, that's awesome. Like, you're insane. Like, you're probably ahead of schedule and he's still not happy.
Well, he's insane, and that's okay. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Platelet rich plasma. That's
yep, PRP. And it said, and he said it really helped. So like, it helped a lot. So that's good. And, you know, we've got on top of that, we've got Trevor May is throwing as well.
He which, did respond to somebody, but it was not the same guy.
Yeah, no, he did tweet. So like the source is once again literally Trevor May. He did tweet that he's throwing. He like tweeted like first day of throwing with like the flexing emoji or something like that, but it was not at Sleepy Corn Pop, unfortunately.
Okay, Sleepy Corn Pop.
It was not Sleepy Corn Pop providing us with the update, but it was an update nonetheless. And so he's throwing. I mean, he's obviously like far behind. He's like pretty far behind like DeGrom and Scherzer because he got injured after like way after DeGrom. So he's like kind of far behind, but like he's throwing, which is a really good sign. And James McCann was seen taking batting practice at Citi Field today and is nearing a minor league rehab assignment himself. So like that's the first like time we've heard even a peep about James McCann, but like it was like nothing like crickets silence for weeks. And I was like, oh, he's almost back. And you're like, oh, okay, neat.
I just like that we're not getting like the insane updates, like the weekly updates, I guess. I feel like the healing time or the rehab assignments and whatnot are media wise way more under control and way more under wraps than they have been in the past.
I agree.
Yeah.
They've definitely got that under control, like the narrative.
Great.
Which is good. They're not just like randomly leaking like these weird cryptic updates like they used to. Which is nice. Like, yeah, from a fan perspective, it's like, just tell me when you have something to tell me. Like, come on.
I just want Jake and Scherzer back by July 3rd because that's the next game I'll be going to.
There you go. The next game I'm going to is the Keith Hernandez retirement on July 9th. So that feels like a good bet for at least Scherzer, if not both of them.
Yeah.
I think Scherzer's like could be back in like 2 weeks.
So yes, it is entirely possible.
Because that's my niece and nephew. That's going to be their first game.
So yeah.
If I could get like a Jake or Scherzer starter, that would be really fun.
I wouldn't be surprised if the Mets decide like, oh, we need to pitch Scherzer against like in the Astros series. Because that's like kind of in the timeline that it would be. But
yeah.
But yeah,
the only time I've seen Scherzer is when he was with the Nationals. And let me tell you, that was a long day at the ballpark. Yeah. Because he was pitching against Logan Verrett.
Oh, my God.
And it was awful.
I was blessed enough to see his very first start as a Met. So hopefully there will be many more to come.
Well, Bassett just got another sweet double play to get out of trouble. So
yeah. We'd love to see that. Through six, 4-0 Mets. The only bad injury news the Mets have gotten of late is that Colin Holderman went on the injured list with a shoulder impingement. RIP to Michael's dude, which is not the greatest. Obviously, like it's not good because Trevor May is still not back, and the bullpen is already showing cracks, and they have not performed well. They did not perform well on the West Coast road trip. Like there was a lot of bad bullpenning happening. But like of all the guys to have bad injury updates on, like, I suppose that's not the worst thing. And Holderman himself seemed to think it was a relatively minor thing that he just needs some time. And it's not going to be like an extended absence, but yeah, the bullpen is looking real thin. They need Trevor May back. Basically, like Edwin Diaz continues to be dominant, but outside that, the bullpen has issues, which we knew.
Like, I don't even know who you could target at the trade. I mean, you got to make a move.
They need bullpen help at the deadline. Absolutely.
Like, but who are you giving up for it?
Because I wouldn't cost that much. No. Right? Unless you're aiming for like, I don't know, like one of the top relievers.
Yeah, I mean, unless you're trying to trade for one of the like top closers, then relief help doesn't cost that much, honestly. I was surprised that Jake Reed got the call instead of Adonis Medina, but I think the reason for that is because they have the new option rules this year that there's limits on how many times you can option a guy back down to AAA. And so I think that they were nervous that they were approaching that limit with Medina too soon, because I think they've already optioned him down like three times at least. And it's five is the option limit, I think. And so, and Jake Reed, I think, had only been called up and subsequently sent down once. So they were like, all right, we'll burn one of the options on Reed and not on Medina yet. I think
now I only hear JD saying Medina every time I hear Medina.
I know.
He was so happy.
JD continues to be red hot, although he's sitting today.
Yes, that was another positive out of the road trip, was we got a hot JD and we got a goofy JD back.
Yes. Our favorite kinds of JD.
Yeah, so the full JD experience is now back.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
So the starting rotation, like if we're talking about the West Coast road trip and like what caused them to be 500 rather than, you know, winning more games, like the starting rotation is really starting to miss DeGrom and Scherzer, which we expected. There was some poor pitching performances out of the rotation and also out of the bullpen. When it comes to the offense, though, they mostly, besides getting like completely shut down by Yu Darvish, which will happen because he's Yu Darvish, he's pretty good. The offense looks pretty darn good still. It was just Francisco Lindor who was horrifically slumping on that road trip. But I think there are a couple reasons for that. Number one, he shut his finger in a door and maybe he wasn't 100%.
That shit hurts, man.
It really does. Oh, I felt that.
And number two, Francisco Lindor's home road splits are drastic. Like, I tweeted about this the other day because it's gotten to the point where the sample size is kind of big enough for it to be like a thing and not just like some weird random phenomenon. But I don't know like what is driving it. But the home road splits, let me bring it up. I mean, obviously, this does not include today's game, but I tweeted about this, so I have them on hand. It's pretty drastic.
Which right now he is 1-3 in this game.
And they're back home now, so that's good for him. Scroll down through my tweets. Yeah. So, batting average 286 at home, 216 on the road. OPS 846 at home, 658 on the road. Jesus. WRC plus 151 at home, 82 on the road.
Oof.
BAPIP 324 at home, 238 on the road. Walk to strikeout ratio 0.74 at home, 0.32 on the road.
My God.
It's just like really, really, really drastic. And I can't figure out like what is driving that exactly. And it's kind of weird because obviously Citi Field is not what one would think of as a good park for hitters. but Francisco Lindor seems to love playing there, which he's on the Mets. Like, so that's good. Yes. But
yeah. He's like the vibes. Like he needs like that, you know, the energy from the crowd,
the good vibes.
He could be a vibes guy. A theory on Amazing Avenue Slack is that he's a wife guy and he needs his wife and child.
they were on the road trip.
They went to Disneyland, so that kind of does put a dent in that theory, but maybe the wife guy vibes are part of it. But yeah, just something to keep an eye on. It's very odd. I don't know exactly what's going on with that, but Yeah, the only one who was really slumping on the road trip was Francisco Lindor. But part of the reason was for that was because the Mets were on the road and he seems to hate being away from Citi Field. But, you know, everybody else mostly hitting. Jeff McNeil hitting freaking 320. Pete Alonso still red hot. JD Davis red hot. Starling Marte after coming back red hot. Mark Canna red hot. Brandon Nimmo was cold for a while, hot again now. Like, the whole lineup is really hitting, which is good.
I feel like McNeil had gotten cold and then got hot.
Yeah, he was cold too, but he's back hot again. Yes.
Yeah.
It's just, what's great about this is that since the pitching is shaky, but the offense has more than kind of pulled them out of it. And up and down. It's just fun to watch these guys. They're clicking all together. They really are.
And they don't.
Can we also talk about what else is fun? Edwin Diaz striking out Mike Trout.
Oh my God.
That
was marvelous.
That 5-out save that Edwin Diaz got was huge. That was so good. He struck out Mike Trout and then he struck out the side in the next inning and he struck out Brandon Marsh on 102.
Yes.
102 miles an hour. And not to mention that he did not have his good slider that night.
No.
But he had his good fastball. So he just used that and blew guys absolutely away. Like, it was nuts.
One being Mike freaking Trout.
Oh my God. I have the YouTube video of that right now, and he's just making Trout look stupid. I mean, oh my God. 100 miles an hour, he got the third strike. He just made Trout look like, oh my God.
I said he made Mike Trout look like Mike Nickius up there.
How?
And Trout was red hot.
He was.
Did he hit two home runs or was it one home run?
He had two home runs in the one game, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, but Trout caught fire the day before. So, I mean, Trout's always going to be a threat because it's Mike freaking Trout.
But
afterwards, I don't know if you saw the post-game interview with Diaz. He had a souvenir hat from Disney on. He had a backpack on. And he's
God.
Yeah, I faced Trout before. I knew what to do. And he's like calmly talking about it. Like, the vibes were impeccable.
This team's vibes just off the charts. Such a good vibes team.
I know we've said this before, but Diaz is just so much happier this year, and it translates on the field.
Edwin Diaz
and Jeff McNeil are the biggest turnarounds in vibes from last season to this season by far.
Just because McNeil was having such a bad year last year, especially for him.
Yeah,
and that's definitely not the case this year thus far.
Stop trying to hit home runs. He stopped trying to hit home runs all the time.
Yeah.
And now he's just spraying the ball all over the field again, which is exactly his game. And now he might literally make the all-star team. Speaking of which, there are several Mets that might make the all-star team.
Go vote for them.
Yeah, go vote for them. Voting's open.
He has to.
Pete's going to make it. Even though Paul Goldschmidt is like MVP level good, so like that is the only reason why Pete might not start the all-star game, but he's gonna make it regardless because he has to. And then the Mets have like five other players that conceivably could make the team. Like, they've got Jeff McNeil could make the team, Brandon Nimmo could make the team, Francisco Lindor could make the team, Edwin Diaz can make the team. Edwin Diaz probably will make the team.
I want them all to make the team.
Marte, I think, could be like, he could be a sneaky candidate.
I think he has an outside chance. The outfield is difficult.
Yeah, because Harper will probably... Harper
will DH.
Yeah.
Yes.
Ugh. Unquestionably, Harper's the starting DH for the National League, I think.
Yeah.
I think but the outfield is kind of the most difficult position to, like, break in, because obviously you've got, like, Mookie Betts is, like, a given. So...
Now, how's Freeman doing?
I think he's having a great year.
Yeah, he's doing really well. Let me go.
First base is gonna be tough.
Let me go.
Pete. I don't think he has the numbers that Pete has. But
okay, so
or Goldschmidt WRC has.
He's got WRC of 131.
Well, Pete is also having an MVP type year. Let's not sell Pete short.
Yeah, sure. I think he has an outside chance. It's tough because
he's leading the league in home runs and RBIs.
Yes.
I know those aren't like the be all and end all, but I mean, it's still a big thing.
Yes.
Okay. This is, hang on. I got to do some math that I'm bad at.
I think that like, I mean, I think if it wasn't for the fact that like Paul Goldschmidt, Mookie Betts and like Manny Machado are like fully all going off and Bryce Harper again, although Bryce Harper will be dinged by the fact that he's been DHing the whole time, more or less. If things continue as they are now, it's going to make the MVP race in the National League super tough.
Well, there are also those people who still think you have to make the playoffs, so that might hurt Harper's chance too.
Yes, that might.
Okay, so I did the numbers. Okay, so Alonso has a 921 OPS with a 156 WRC plus and a 1.9 FWAR. And Freddie Freeman has an 817 OPS with a 131 WRC plus. And I don't know how this works out. He's got a 2.1 FWAR.
I think he's a much better defensive first baseman. I think Pete Alonso has really been dinged on the defensive side this year.
Which it's not that much. It's 1.9 versus 2.1. But
his offense, that's all offense. Basically, I think he has like negative defensive WAR.
Oh, good God.
This year.
Poor Pete.
Yeah, not good.
Oh, Pete.
First base is tough to win an MVP. It's a tough position to win an MVP out of because... Yeah. Like you can't like even when you're like really good, a really good defensive first baseman, as both Freddie Freeman and Paul Goldschmidt are, it's hard to like add to your WAR total like that much as a first baseman, even with good defense. But I mean, Paul Goldschmidt is
Freeman has negative defense right now. Perfect.
Oh, does he really?
Whoa. Negative 2.0. Negative 2.4, and Alonso has Alonso's defense is bad,
really bad. Yeah,
negative 7.3.
Not good.
Not good at all. But I'm surprised at Freeman being negative.
Yeah, me too. I mean, Fangraphs changed the way that they do WAR. The defensive side of WAR is now based on outs above average rather than UZR. So that's going to change the calculus a little bit as far as like,
I was going to say that's wonky because Goldschmidt's defense is even worse than Alonso's.
He's still three FWAR though. Literally Paul Goldschmidt has a 186 WRC plus.
And that's entirely because of offense.
Yep.
Oh my God.
I mean, like literally Paul Goldschmidt is, like, I would argue favorite, Mookie Betts probably, because Mookie Betts plays a more valuable defensive position. And I would be shocked if his defense is negative.
Let's see. Let's go peek. It's not. Thank God somebody. It's 4.4.
It is not. So Mookie Betts probably the favorite of Paul Goldschmidt. Close second. I don't know. So the Mets have several players who could potentially make the All-Star team, which is very exciting. Usually it's like one or two, maybe. It's like DeGrom and it's like anybody else.
It's like, here's your default.
Anyone? Bueller? Not Walker Bueller. He's hurt.
You know,
he can't. Oh my God.
But anyway, on that bad joke.
Oh, jeez.
In wider baseball news this week, the main storylines this week all have to do with like minor leagues, in some way. So conditions for minor leaguers continue to be an issue. People aren't talking about it as much, but that doesn't mean it is going away. Our good friend Kate Feldman actually tweeted about this, and it's one of her tweets that's gotten like a lot of attention. But on the Apple TV broadcast for the Rays and Twins, which I didn't watch because it was concurrent with the Mets Apple TV broadcast. They were actually on at the same time, although I think the Rays Twins game started a little earlier, but they were concurrent at the same time. But on the Rays and Twins Apple TV broadcast, over the weekend. They sort of made light of the living situations of minor leaguers and made it into a joke. Like, they were laughing about how guys were sleeping in hammocks, like, because they were sharing apartments with so many roommates and stuff. And they, like, made it this funny thing, which is, like, pretty messed up.
How do you make light of that?
I don't know. I think they were like talking about, like, oh my God, ha ha ha. Like, it's just like college, like so many roommates and sleeping on a hammock. Like, isn't that weird? Like, which is like not good.
That's not even good in college, but that's,
right.
That's a different.
And also in college, you don't have families you have to support.
No, especially that.
And like, you know, your livelihood is not dependent on you, like, not screwing up your back by sleeping on a hammock.
Yeah.
Which, like, so
it's bad. Like, just bad looks all around.
I don't know. Like, it's just like that stuff's not a joke. Like, can we not do that?
Especially when it's been pointed out that the minor league conditions are such an issue, and you have a lot of people advocating that those conditions improve, and that's the mainstream reaction to it. And that's going to be the mainstream, like, reaction of the people listening. Now, they're not going to want to learn. They're just hearing these guys make fun of it.
Well, and it just makes,
they're not going to want to learn.
Yeah, I mean, but it makes them also look out of touch. Like, then you're making light of a serious subject that people are working very, very hard to change. And there has been some improvement.
Yes, there has been.
And, you know, and you're just making a flip comment about it. Like, it's not a joke.
Yeah. And it's disappointing because, like, when you think about, when you talk about these Apple TV broadcasts, like, this is like Melanie Newman doing this. And it's like, you're supposed to be like, you know, I'm not trying to say that, like, women have a greater responsibility just because they're women in broadcasting and there aren't that many of them. But, like, that's the sad reality of it. There aren't that many women in broadcasting. So when you have a poor performance or do something poor, it reflects poorly. Like, it's just not good. And it's
going to get blown up worse. I think it's like, of course a woman said that, like, she's never played the game. And it's like, yeah, you're just making it harder for everybody now.
Yeah. It's frustrating.
That whole thing with, oh my God, a broadcaster has to play the game. Guys, Gary Cohen didn't play the game.
And he's the best broadcaster there is.
Yeah. So, shut the heck up on that.
He's
front.
A man, so he gets a pass because he probably played Little League, Kellyanne.
Yeah. And yet women who played, like, professional softball, like, aren't taken seriously because they didn't play baseball. It's just nonsense. But also, the Advocates for Minor Leaguers recently tweeted that the Athletics have players under contract who have not gotten a paycheck since October 1st.
Oh, good Lord.
It is June 14th as we record this. Since October 1st. That's unacceptable. Like, and I'm not trying to, like,
happen.
I don't know. And I'm not even trying to specifically, like, call out the Athletics because, like, Lord knows several organizations have this issue. And, like, all organizations, including the Athletics, despite them crying poor constantly, can afford to pay minor leaguers a living wage, let alone pay them, period. Please. Ridiculous. Like, this is people's livelihoods, and you're just, like, withholding it? Like, why?
And the Athletics, they traded away how many people? Like, what, their payroll is, like, something ridiculous.
Yeah, they're, like, one of the lowest payrolls, yeah.
Yeah,
like, and they're bad.
You're at the bare bones of your organization here. And you still don't have money to pay your minor leaguers? Come on.
They just want to keep the money for themselves. That's greed. Pure greed. Pure and simple.
And I believe the Athletics were one of the teams specifically called out on the subpar facilities for women, by the way. So yes,
they have subpar facilities just in general.
In general. But, you know, strike two, Athletics. You know what? You're a baseball team. You know what happens when you have three strikes. So just eyes on you.
They have the second lowest payroll in baseball.
Yeah.
At 35, about 35.4
Who's
million.
The lowest? Reds? Orioles?
Nope. Orioles. Yeah. At 29.7.
That's incredible.
Million.
29.7.
The New York Mets have the top. Wait a minute. How is this? Oh my God. Wait a minute. Sorry. I'm looking at the wrong column. No, but it's still right. Okay. Sorry. Let me do the total. I was looking at the wrong column. My apologies. It's still the A's and the Orioles in last place, but the Athletics have a $48 million payroll and the Orioles have a 46.4.
It was like 29 seems million. Really low, even for the Orioles.
Yeah.
Yeah. But sorry. That's the current payroll, the current 26 man payroll. I was looking at not the total payroll, which for comparison, the New York Metropolitans are the highest paid payroll, the highest payroll in baseball at 260.2, about 25 million.
Keeping that in the back of our minds when we are talking about, this is kind of side tangent, Mets related tangent, but when we're talking about adding guys at the deadline, the Mets are like right up against the Cohen tax at this point. Like they are very close. I know that you said 260 something, and I think the Cohen tax is like 290. It seems like they have wriggle room, but again, you're talking about the 26 man payroll, which is not the same thing as the payroll that counts toward the competitive balance tax. It's like a different number, and they are like right up against that threshold, depending on like what source you use, like COTS contracts or spot rack or whatever it is.
Yeah, I'm using spot rack right now because the 26 man payroll is the current roster. This is not counting the injured crew, which will add another about 84 million when they return.
Right. Well, didn't Cohen say he didn't care?
He said he didn't care. He said he didn't care. So we'll see.
But I think it was recently he just said something.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, good.
It was in the Post, I think.
Yeah, I think it was today.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed that.
Yes.
Good. Excellent. We love to see that. Hopefully he means it. But it's something to keep in mind. But the other, like, I would argue, bigger story that came out of the minor leagues this week is Britt Greeley of The Athletic wrote this is just fantastic reporting, by the way. Like, the story is horrible, but the reporting, very good. Britt continues to do a fantastic job. I really admire her work, and we will obviously link this piece in the show notes and in the tweets. You should read it because it's just really good reporting. But she wrote a piece about a minor league announcer who reported a sexual assault by a player on the team that she announced for and ended up losing her job. And she felt like it was retaliation for reporting the incident, which, based on, you know, all the details that came out in the reporting, seems like she's not being paranoid about that. Like, it seems like that's probably what happened.
I mean, and MLB agreed. I was going to say, and MLB agreed with her because they, I believe, suspended that player.
Well, yeah, the player did actually, unlike a lot of times, the player did actually face consequences for this. The player in question was punished and was punished severely for this incident, which no one, like, this isn't a question of like people denying that it happened, because no one seems to deny that it happened. Like, there are witnesses to this and tons of corroborating evidence. Like, this assault occurred. And
it's just retaliation. That's the problem.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
Yeah. In this case, it is an issue that she was retaliated against by the team. So what happened was, and I'm not going to go into the details of the assault, which are horrible, and you can read about them in the piece. They were in a hotel room and the players invited her back to hang out, and this one particular player assaulted her and was punished for it, and is no longer, I believe, even with that organization. So this is a Cleveland Guardians minor league organization.
Shocker.
Yeah, again, we've got the team that one of the teams that employed Mickey Callaway. So not a good record for the Cleveland Guardians organization here. So this is a Cleveland Guardians affiliate that she was broadcasting for. And all of a sudden, one day in the aftermath of the assault, she, you know, looked like someone sent her a screenshot of a LinkedIn post of her job. Like, that was posted online. Like, her job was like, here's a job available. And she was like, I thought that was my job. And so she went to them about this and asked them like, hey, why is my job online? And they were like, oh, we just assumed you weren't coming back next season. And she was like, why would you assume that? Like, you could have just asked me.
Yeah,
and they just posted the job and didn't ask her, which is wild.
And what an awful way to find out, too.
Seriously.
Right.
This is cowardly.
Just awful. And they claim, the team claims that the job was being basically downgraded from like a full-time position to one that A, doesn't travel on the road. So the announcer is no longer traveling, and B, is hourly instead of like a salary. So they were like, oh, we just kind of assumed that you wouldn't want that anymore because it's basically being downgraded, the position. And we thought that you wouldn't want
it. So talk to the person about it. Don't just throw up a job listing.
Which is just an incredibly weak excuse.
Yeah, that's what it is. Yeah. It's excuses.
And the woman, you know, who this happened to said like, this, you know, they say that, but I think it's because they don't want the broadcaster to be a liability on the road because, you know, what happened to her happened on the when the team was on the road at a hotel. Right.
And yes, so because we can't tell men to, you know, not assault people. God
right.
Forbid.
So instead of like sending the message of like, we're going to tell men not to assault people, we're going to send the message of, oh, we're not going to bring the female broadcaster on the road because she's a liability to us. Because the players
will be
assault
the temptress,
her, which is like
she'll be the temptress to the players or something,
which is like,
oh,
so
my God.
Fucking ridiculous.
So now you're victimizing her again.
Exactly. Trevor Bauer was on the Cleveland Indians, and one of his accusers was, I believe, from that time, that era of his career.
No, the Reds.
Was it the Reds?
Yeah, it was the Reds.
It was okay. I thought it was the Indians.
I mean, it was Ohio, but yeah, the Reds.
Oh, Mio, oh, Mio. Oh, Ohio.
But anyway, I want to read, I obviously, like, you should read the entire piece, but I want to read this quote in particular from the piece, which is a quote from another female minor league broadcaster, of which there are only like three or four of them in the entire minor leagues, by the way. And so this was a quote from another female minor league broadcaster who actually Sheridan, the last name of the woman in question, who this happened to, Sheridan called this other woman at like right after the assault occurred and called her in like tears. And she was the one that she relied on and helped her like go to the police and everything, which, by the way, like she says that the Cleveland Guardians and Major League Baseball, like on their end of it, like were fully cooperative and like helped her with the like going to the police and deciding whether to press charges and everything like that. It seems like as far as like punishing the player, everything went okay. It's more just like this retaliation for the job. But anyway, so this other broadcaster said, quote, "It makes me wonder if people understand when you hire women to do these jobs, they are going to take bullets and you need to be able to support them. Everything adds up to Lynchburg punishing her," Lynchburg being the team, minor league team. "That or just the system we are stuck in that's punishing her. She should have been able to get a job in baseball. She shouldn't have this cloud hanging over her." So she had trouble getting another job after this. Even like, so not only did she lose her job, she had trouble getting another job because she had to explain why she suddenly didn't like, was like dropped from, you know, from this broadcasting gig she had before. So it's just rough. I mean, she has a job now as an NWSL broadcaster, which is the women's soccer, professional soccer league, which is great. And she said, quote, "I'm out of baseball now, so I feel safe," which is just like gut wrenching. That's a gut wrenching quote.
And how I'm like, you're not. But like we said, there's not a lot of women already in the game. And now you purposely forced somebody out. Like, that's what it is. And then you made her relive the trauma when she was trying to fight for her job, and then she had to explain to other people. So you just like compounded her pain.
Yep.
It's just
multiple times.
It's just a sign that the culture on the whole is still quite bad. And that's not surprising, quite frankly. However, I mean, hopefully it's a shame that women have to share these experiences to maybe make improvements, but maybe people in the industry will start to see that, hey, things we need to A, stop victim blaming, B, tell these jackass players to, you know, just not assault somebody. Understand that if someone's uncomfortable with something and says so, to listen.
Yeah. She was explicitly clear that she was not comfortable with the situation she was in. And apparently that was
But they ended up making that her problem.
Yes. Yes. And yep. It's just like, it's horrible. It's like the solution isn't to support women. The solution is to be like, this woman is the problem, and to chase her out. Which is just awful. And it's just like, you know, it just goes to show that like simply hiring women is not enough. Like, this woman was hired, obviously, and I'm sure they patted themselves on the back robustly when they did so. Oh, the first female announcer in this team's history, and I think even the like entire Cleveland Guardians like minor league system history, you know, in franchise history, first female announcer. Look how great we are with this. Look what happened.
And so I think there's only one of three in the entire minors.
In the entire minor leagues, I think there's only three. Yeah, it's like three or four. And so it just goes to show that like simply hiring women is not enough. You have to like address the culture, like Kellyanne said, and these systemic issues, and give them the support they need. Again, this is the same. This goes back to the inadequate facilities that we talked about last week. Like, you can hire women, but if they have no support system in place, they're not going to stay, and they're not going to feel welcome in their job.
Well, and that's the same issue the Mets had for so long with their toxic culture.
Exactly.
And it seems, crossing my fingers, it seems to be changing.
But the Mets just announced today that Jose Reyes is going to be part of Old Timers Day.
Yep.
So again, you claim you're changing the culture, but you're welcoming back this abuser with open arms and continue to embrace him.
Well, most fans are happy about it, too.
Yeah, and most fans are happy about it. So
supersedes anything he did off of it, which is also the mentality that most fans have.
Correct.
Also, seriously,
if he helps your team win, that's all that matters.
God help us.
Yeah. It's just, you know, and now you have this woman who was a rising talent by all accounts. Seemed like she was really good at her job, actually. Now is in a different sport entirely. And whose fault is that? It's baseball for chasing her out. Now she feels safe because she's broadcasting for women's soccer. None of those players are going to assault her.
Oh.
So.
It's just. This male-dominated industry is very resistant to any kind of change.
And until you change the culture, the surrounding circumstances, and give like women and anybody who's a non-white, cis, heterosexual dude the support they need, like you can hire marginalized people, but they're not going to stay because it's just a hostile environment for them all the way around. It's a hostile environment. Baseball is a hostile environment for anyone who is not a white guy who is straight and cis, period. And it continues to be that way. Even though there have been strides made, it's not enough.
And they wonder why they can't grow the game. It's like, well, you alienate how many people at this point?
Seriously, right. Especially the female fan base.
Yep.
Yep.
Ugh.
But yeah. But yeah, I really like... We obviously, in the limited time that we have on this show, can't fully like unpack the entire article. I highly recommend that you read it because Britt continues to do really good reporting on this. Obviously, it was Britt who did most of the reporting on the Mickey Callaway stuff, on a lot of the Jerry Porter stuff. So she continues to be like an absolutely key voice in this arena. And I really recommend her work, and you should keep reading it. So, yeah.
Also, what sucks is, you know, we're all outraged now, but are the Guardians going to do anything?
Probably not.
Is there going to be any repercussions for the men that fired her? No.
No.
I mean, the only positive thing I see is that, like, she got a profile in The Athletic, which probably wouldn't have happened 5 years ago. Yeah. Everyone probably would have ignored her. There wouldn't have been a reporter who would have even wanted to tell her story. Like, because all the baseball reporters are, you know, predominantly also like cis white dudes. So, <Yeah. laughs> like, they're not interested in this minor league broadcaster who had a horrible, like, thing happen to her. That's just not a story that they care about telling. Whereas, so that's like why diversity matters in the media too, because then these stories get told. So at least there's that.
But that's step one. But now step two is there has to be follow through, and that seems to be like where we
always get stuck.
We get stuck, yes.
Actually following through with the change, yeah.
Yeah. Because then it's just going to happen to somebody else.
But, you know, meanwhile, we will continue to scream into the void about it, I suppose, or whatever, for whatever good that does, yeah. We will keep screaming into the void about it. But we will end the show this week, like we always do, with walk-off wins, where each of us talks about something that is making us happy this week, baseball related or otherwise. Kellyanne Healy, what is your walk-off win for this week?
I'm going to cheat. I have three. The first one happened most recently today. This morning. In fact, I went up to Linda's library and got to do a music and movement class there outside with a lot of people. A lot of people showed up.
Yes.
That's awesome.
And it was very fun. I was sweating buckets by the end, but I put my sunscreen. I brought my sunscreen this week. So it was a lot of fun. And seeing Linda in person is always a joy, especially like since last week, I hadn't seen her or seen you in person. What, Lynn, in like over 6 months?
I was going to say, no. I think the Apato event was the last time we saw each other.
Oh, good Lord. Almost a year. Okay.
Yeah. It's been way too long.
It's been way too long. Moral of the story. So that is the first one. My second one is an outreach visit I did last week telling students about our summer reading program. There was one boy who is a struggling reader who kind of didn't know about the library, but just got so excited when I was telling him what was there, what we had planned for the summer. And he's like, I'm going to stop by as soon as I can. So to get that kind of interest from someone who may not go to the library because they're not comfortable with reading and don't know what the library offers, to get that feedback was fantastic. And I'm going to make sure I'm going to go to the same school on Friday. I'm going to find him. I'm going to be like, did you go to the library? I want to see you there. So that is my second walk-off win. And my third one, which is my biggest one, is that I got a very, very big scholarship from Rutgers, in part just to do, to carry out a project related to my degree and actually related to, children in the libraries. So I'm very excited about that. And it's a $10,000 scholarship, which I was just like, yay, because that takes care of most of my tuition for next year. Which is clearly the money's the most important thing in this. It's not. Money's just a bonus, quite frankly. So yes, I'm just very excited about all things. June has been a great month for me personally.
That's awesome. Yes. I'm so proud of you.
Yes. And thank you for saving my bacon.
I didn't save you. I wish I could come up more. Oh my God. Gas needs to stop being so high priced.
I know. But you were an incredible help to me, and I appreciate it.
I'm glad.
We love our library friends doing good things. Linda Serbich.
Linda, get the bubble machine.
Linda, get the bubble machine. Linda Serbich, what is your walk-off win for this week?
Well, it won't be the Rangers this week. I can tell you that. RIP, yeah, well. Might be the Rangers. it was a good run, even though I'm so pissed of how it all went down. But anyway, I'm moving on. My niece had a dance recital on Sunday. I always cry at these damn things. they're so sweet. And especially when like the really little ones come out and like they just sit there like jumping and like tapping their feet and they're like big tutus, and it's so cute. And but Em did a really good job, but she always just looks so serious when she's out there. It's like, oh, I think she's having fun, but she, you know, she's really like concentrating.
She's focusing and she wants to get it right.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like she really, really wants to get like all the steps down and like get them right. And she got picked to go on the competition team now. So
yeah, that's awesome.
She must be doing well. So it was a proud aunt moment for me on Sunday.
Love it.
And since I was upset about the Rangers, my sister texted me. She goes, oh, I think this will help cheer you up. Because then afterwards, the Mets were on Sunday Night Baseball that night after Em's recital. So Marie put it on and Em goes, I hate when they're on this channel. They talk too much and they never talk about the Mets.
Yes, Em. Oh,
I was like, Emily. You
go, yeah. Girl.
I was like, she's learning. I was like, you are a quick learner. So I was like, they got taken down by an 8-year-old.
And slamming the table. Bring back Gary, Keith, and Ron.
Where's Gary, Keith, and Ron?
I will. I was just the one.
The children are our future.
She is,
really. Yes. The one tiny thing that made me happy about the ESPN broadcast on Sunday, and literally this is just because of the timing of it. It was like the first game in 2 weeks that wasn't after 8 o'clock. That wasn't like at 10 o'clock at night.
Yes, that was the saving grace. And they actually won that game, which was
awesome. Yes.
I'm the only one who likes West Coast road trips. I accept this. I mean, like, I don't like them in the sense that like I know they're exhausting for the team, and so like I get that it's always a rough patch in the schedule for the team because it's a lot of travel, they're jet lagged and all that stuff, but I like late night baseball because I'm a weird night owl sicko.
Well, it didn't help that like the Rangers get eliminated. They play awful. They get eliminated. I'm like, well, the Mets are on the West Coast. So now I can watch the Mets. And I put it on and they're losing like 7-2. Well, oh, God Jesus. Damn it.
Yeah.
You hit the bad game.
I was about to like throw my TV out the window.
Oh yeah. My God.
Even the Mets, I have to count on you to bring me joy now. And you weren't even bringing me joy.
They will bring you joy.
I was going to say they have been bringing us all joy more this more year often than years not. Previous
and yes. More often yes. Than not this year.
Well, they bought me joy the next day. They did make up for it.
Yeah,
it was just that night when I needed the joy, they did not bring it.
And they are officially one out from winning this game today.
Oh good.
It is the top of the ninth. Drew Smith is pitching. It's still 4-0.
Why did they just show Edwin Diaz warming up?
Oh, did they? I mean, Drew Smith is pitching.
Drew Smith is
according
in
to game day, Drew Smith is pitching.
Yes.
So maybe Diaz was warming and they decided not to put him in. I don't know. Maybe he's warming in case Drew Smith gives up.
On.
I assume that, yeah, like Diaz was probably warming in case Drew Smith like gives up a run or something.
Well, and good for Bassett, too. Bassett had an incredible outing.
A great bounce back game from Chris Bassett. We love to see that. So yeah, the Mets are back to bringing us joy. One out away from, or one strike away now from, you know, clinching this first game of the series against the Brewers. So that's really good to see.
Although they showed Rowdy Tellez in the on-deck circle. And when I went to Pittsburgh last year, they were happened to be playing, the Pirates were playing the Brewers, and he hit one like out of the stadium.
Rowdy Tellez hit some big boy dingers. That is for dang sure.
They won.
Oh yeah, that's books. Okay, yeah,
books in the books. Put it in the books. Heck yeah.
Oh, I do want, because Em really likes Narco, and I want to go to a game when her first game. I want her to see Pete hit a home run because Pete's her favorite, and I want Edwin Diaz to come in because she loves Narco. Yeah, so come on, Em needs to see Narco. And my poor nephew, he's starting to play. They signed him up for T-ball in, I think, the fall.
Yay!
And my sister said when they could like they form a tea and everything, and he still pretends he's Dom.
Oh,
I was like, oh no, poor Danny. Because I think he likes Dom because he has a cousin named Dom. So I'm like, oh, poor Danny. He needs a new favorite player.
He'll be back, I think.
Yeah, he'll be back.
Or maybe like when we go, maybe he'll see somebody do something and like he'll get a new favorite player. But poor Danny.
Mets are 41-22, folks. It's good.
I love it.
Yeah, so the Braves can win all they want, but the Mets keep winning. You know?
Yeah,
can
doesn't
winning.
Matter.
And yeah, the Mets can render this Braves winning streak irrelevant if they so choose. Their fate is still in their own hands.
Yeah, the Braves are going to lose again eventually.
To the goddamn Nationals, they're not, but eventually.
Oof. They do play the Giants and Braves, I think, next week.
The Dodgers and the Giants, yes.
Yes, that's what I meant. Yeah, the Dodgers and the Braves are playing.
Wait, I was going to say, is this the first time the Braves and the Dodgers are meeting this year? It's not, right?
I can't remember.
Just because of the Freeman reunion.
Yes.
I want to see the fireworks.
But anyway, the month of June has not been very kind to me. But
oh, no.
I will say that I did have a nice moment over the weekend that is representing my walk-off win for this week, which is that Michael and I attended the March for Our Lives rally here in DC. For those of you not familiar with that, it's, you know, the organization that was formed by survivors of the Parkland shooting at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School, and continues to advocate for, you know, stricter gun laws, and, you know, in the aftermath of Uvalde and Buffalo and all the recent shootings that we sadly still deal with in America, because this country is like deeply messed up. They had another big like March for Our Lives this year. So Michael and I went because it was in DC and we live here. So we were like, let's go. So obviously the circumstances that we were there were not very happy, but there was a very happy moment where I just hear Allison and I turn around and it's my coworker who I've never met in person, because, you know, the reality of COVID and remote work is that I have only met a small handful of my coworkers, like the people I work like immediately with, because now I'm going to the office once a week. But even still, like even during that time when I'm in the office once a week, I'm only interacting with the people who like work in my little office suite, which is like, you know, the people who I work most often with, but a minority of my overall coworkers. Most of my coworkers actually work in a completely different part of the NIH campus. So I like never see them because I'm never in that building. There's no reason for me to be over there. So I've never met most of them in real life, despite seeing them on Zoom almost every day. So yeah, we hugged and it was like really nice. Like it was this person who I feel like I know very well, but like I've never met her in real life. And it, like the odds of that happening in a crowd of 50,000 people are like pretty infinitesimally small. So that was just like a cool little moment that happened to me while we were there. So that's my walk-off win for this week. But in the meantime, you can read about the New York Mets, who are good, at AmazingAvenue.com. We've got all sorts of fantastic content for you, as always. Game recaps. I've got your weekly meters. We've got daily morning news posts, all that good stuff over at Amazing Avenue. You can follow Amazing Avenue on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. You can follow this show on Twitter at A Pod of Their Own. You can follow Linda and I on Twitter. I am at Petite PhD. Where are you, Linda?
At Linda Saravich.
And Kellyanne is in the Amazing Avenue comments. You can find her there, but you can also find her definitely not on the Pod of Their Own.
Not there. I'm not there. That's not my burner account or anything like that.
Never there. You can never
there. There.
No.
Nope. Not Kellyanne.
But you can email the show, aa.apodoftheirown@gmail.com. You can also reach us that way. We love getting emails from you guys. Please subscribe to the podcast wherever you get your podcasts from. It really helps people find the show if you rate and review it, so please do that as well. The original intro and outro music to this podcast is by Bunga. Let's go Mets, and don't forget, there is no crying in hockey.